This is the Mueller Report. I'm Melena Balbo. Welcome to Episode 5, Part 2 of the Mueller Report, a reading, and thanks for joining me. As I explained in Part 1 of this episode, this second part will cover the second half of Section 3 of Volume 1 of the Mueller Report, which is entitled Russian Hacking and Dumping Operations. This is a relatively lengthy and dense section, and so to avoid podcast overload, I've split the content into two more easily digestible segments. In today's episode, I will narrate the final section of Section 3's four subsections, which is subsection D, entitled Trump Campaign and the Dissemination of Hacked Materials. This final subsection is 16 pages long and includes 96 footnotes. For comparison, the combined total of sections A, B, and C is 14 pages and 81 footnotes. I will continue to describe each redacted section and cite the reason for each redaction. Additionally, I will also continue to read out the unredacted footnotes in place, but only when they are of substantive value. Now, after this very short break, I'll complete the narration of the Mueller Report's Volume 1, Section 3, Russian Hacking and Dumping Operations. D. Trump Campaign and the Dissemination of Hacked Materials. The Trump campaign showed interest in WikiLeaks' releases of hacked materials throughout the summer and fall of 2016. The rest of the paragraph, approximately 5 to 6 lines, has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. 1. The heading has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. A. Background. The entire first paragraph has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. B. Contacts with the campaign about WikiLeaks. The first approximately 6 to 7 lines of the paragraph have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. On June 12, 2016, Assange claims in a television interview to, quote, have emails relating to Hillary Clinton which are pending publication, but provided no additional context. In debriefings with the office, former deputy campaign chairman Rick Gates said that the next approximately 6 lines have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. However, within this redacted section is footnote 195, which is not redacted. It reads, in February 2018, Gates pleaded guilty, pursuant to a plea agreement, to a superseding criminal information charging him with conspiring to defraud and commit multiple offenses, parentheses, i.e. tax fraud, failure to report foreign bank accounts, and acting as an unregistered agent of a foreign principal, close parentheses, against the United States, as well as making false statements to our office. Superseding criminal investigation, United States v. Richard W. Gates III, 117 CR 201, DDC, February 23rd, 2018, document 195, Gates superseding criminal investigation, plea agreement, United States v. Richard W. Gates III, 117 CR 201, DDC, February 23rd, 2018, doc 205, Gates plea agreement. Gates has provided information and in-court testimony that the office has deemed to be reliable. End footnote. Gates recalled candidate Trump being generally frustrated that the Clinton emails had not been found. Paul Manafort would later become campaign chairman. The rest of the paragraph, approximately 4 lines, has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. However, within that redaction is footnote 197, which is not redacted. It reads, as explained further in Volume 1, Section 4A8 Infra, Manafort entered into a plea agreement with our office, We determined that he breached the agreement by being untruthful in proffer sessions and before the grand jury. We have generally recounted his version of events in this report only when his statements are sufficiently corroborated to be trustworthy, to identify issues on which Manafort's untruthful responses may themselves be of evidentiary value, or to provide Manafort's explanations for certain events, even when we were unable to determine whether that explanation was credible. His account appears here principally because it aligns with those of other witnesses. End footnote. Michael Cohen, former executive vice president of the Trump Organization and special counsel to Donald J. Trump, footnote 199 at this point reads, in November 2018, Cohen pleaded guilty pursuant to a plea agreement to a single count information charging him with making false statements to Congress in violation of 18 U.S.C. sections 1001A and C. He had previously pleaded guilty to several other criminal charges brought by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York after a referral from this office. In the months leading up to his false statements guilty plea, Cohen met with our office on multiple occasions for interviews and provided information that the office has generally assessed to be reliable and that is included in this report. End footnote. Cohen told the office that he recalled an incident in which he was in candidate Trump's office in Trump Tower. The following approximately seven lines have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. Cohen further told the office that after WikiLeaks' subsequent release of the stolen DNC emails in July 2016, candidate Trump said to Cohen something to the effect of, the next several words have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. The next line and a half of the following paragraph has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. According to Gates, Manafort expressed excitement about the release. The next several words have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. Manafort, for his part, told the office that shortly after WikiLeaks' July 22 release, Manafort also spoke with candidate Trump. The next approximately four lines has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. Manafort also, harm to ongoing matter redaction, wanted to be kept apprised of any developments with WikiLeaks and separately told Gates to keep in touch, harm to ongoing matter redaction, about future WikiLeaks releases. According to Gates, by the late summer of 2016, the Trump campaign was planning a press strategy, a communications campaign, and a messaging based on the possible release of Clinton emails by WikiLeaks. The next two and a half lines have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. While Trump and Gates were driving to LaGuardia Airport, the next almost one line has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. Shortly after the call, candidate Trump told Gates that more releases of damaging information would be coming. The next paragraph has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. C, the heading has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. The first three lines of the subsequent paragraph have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. Corsi is an author who holds a doctorate in political science. Footnote 212 at this point reads, Corsi first rose to public prominence in August 2004 when he published his book, Unfit for Command, Swift Boat Veterans Speak Out Against John Kerry. In the 2008 election cycle, Corsi gained prominence for being a leading proponent of the allegation that Barack Obama was not born in the United States. Corsi told the office that Donald Trump expressed interest in his writings and that he spoke with Trump on the phone on at least six occasions. Corsi, 9/16/18, 3:02 at 3. End footnote. In 2016, Corsi also worked for the media outlet WorldNet Daily. The remaining lines in this paragraph, approximately four or five, have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. However, it includes footnote 213, which reads, Corsi 10/31/18/302-2. Several words have been redacted for grand jury exception. Corsi was first interviewed on September 6, 2018, at the special counsel's offices in Washington, D.C. He was accompanied by counsel throughout the interview. Corsi was subsequently interviewed on September 17, 2018, September 21, 2018, October 31, 2018, November 1, 2018, and November 2, 2018. Counsel was present for all interviews, and the interviews beginning on September 21, 2018 were conducted pursuant to a proffer agreement that precluded affirmative use of his statements against him in limited circumstances. End footnote. The next paragraph begins with two redacted lines, harm to ongoing matter. Corsi told the office during interviews that he, quote, must have previously discussed Assange with Malloch. The rest of the paragraph, approximately four lines, has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. The next paragraph begins with approximately two lines redacted for grand jury exception. According to Malloch, Corsi asked him to put Corsi in touch with Assange, whom Corsi wished to interview. Malloch recalled that Corsi also suggested that individuals in the, quote, orbit of UK politician Nigel Farage might be able to contact Assange and asked if Malloch knew them. Malloch told Corsi that he would think about the request, but made no actual attempt to connect Corsi with Assange. Footnote 218 at this point reads, the first few words have been redacted for grand jury exception. Malloch denied ever communicating with Assange or WikiLeaks, stating that he did not pursue the request to contact Assange because he believed he had no connections to Assange. The rest of the footnote, approximate several words, have been redacted for grand jury exception. End footnote. Malloch stated to investigators that beginning in or about August 2016, he and Corsi had multiple FaceTime discussions about WikiLeaks. The next several words have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. Had made a connection to Assange and that the hacked emails of John Podesta would be released prior to Election Day and would be helpful to the Trump campaign. In one conversation in or around August or September 2016, Corsi told Malloch that the release of the Podesta emails was coming, after which, quote, we were going to be in the driver's seat. The next five paragraphs, almost two full pages of the report, have been redacted, mostly for harm to ongoing matter. 17 footnotes have also been redacted that are included in those five paragraphs, one of which is, most are for harm to ongoing matter, one of which is for the grand jury exception. D. WikiLeaks, October 7, 2016, release of stolen Podesta emails. On October 7, 2016, 4 days after the Assange press conference, the next several words have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. The Washington Post published an Access Hollywood video that captured comments by candidate Trump some years earlier and that was expected to adversely affect the campaign. Footnote 239 at this point reads, candidate Trump can be heard off camera making graphic statements about women. End footnote. Less than an hour after the video's publication, WikiLeaks released the first set of emails stolen by the GRU from the account of Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta. The next paragraph and a half have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. Corsi said that, because he had no direct means of communicating with WikiLeaks, he told members of the news site WND, who were participating on a conference call with him that day, to reach Assange immediately. At this point, footnote 244 reads, in a later November 2018 interview, Corsi stated, the next line has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter, that he believed Malik was on the call, but then focused on other individuals who were on the call invitation, which Malik was not. Separate travel records show that at the time of the call, Malik was aboard a transatlantic flight. Corsi at one point stated, after WikiLeaks' release of stolen emails on October 7, 2016, he concluded Malik had gotten in contact with Assange. Corsi, 11/118/302/6, end footnote. Corsi claimed that the pressure was enormous and recalled telling the conference call the Access Hollywood tape was coming. Footnote 245 at this point reads, during the same interview, Corsi also suggested that he may have sent out public tweets because he knew Assange was reading his tweets. Our office was unable to find evidence of any such tweets. End footnote. Corsi stated that he was convinced that his efforts had caused WikiLeaks to release the emails when they did. In a later November 2018 interview, Corsi stated that he thought that he had told people on a WND conference call about the forthcoming tape and had sent out a tweet asking whether anyone could contact Assange, but then said that maybe he had done nothing. The office investigated Corsi's allegations about the events of October 7, 2016, but found little corroboration for his allegations about the day. The next 3.5 lines have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. However, the phone records themselves do not indicate that the conversation was with any of the reporters who broke the Access Hollywood story, and the office has not otherwise been able to identify the substance of the conversation. The next almost 2 lines has been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. However, the office has not identified any conference call participant or anyone who spoke to Corsi that day who says that they received non-public information about the tape from Corsi or acknowledged having contacted a member of WikiLeaks on October 7, 2016 after a conversation with Corsi. E. Donald Trump Jr. interaction with WikiLeaks. Donald Trump Jr. had direct electronic communications with WikiLeaks during the campaign period. On September 20, 2016, an individual named Jason Fishbein sent WikiLeaks the password for an unlaunched website focused on Trump's, quote, unprecedented and dangerous ties to Russia, PutinTrump.org. Footnote 252 at this point reads, 9/20/16, Twitter DM, at Jason Fishbein to at WikiLeaks, CJF00587, 9/21/16, messages, personal privacy redaction, at jabber.cryptopartyis, and personal privacy redaction, at jabber.cryptoparty.is, Fishbein, 9/15/18, 9/5/18/302/4. When interviewed by our office, Fishbein produced what he claimed to be logs from a chat room in which the participants discussed U.S. politics. One of the other participants had posted the website and password that Fishbein sent to WikiLeaks. End footnote. WikiLeaks publicly tweeted, quote, let's bomb Iraq, progress for America PAC to launch PutinTrump.org at 9:30 a.m. Oops, PW is, quote, Putin Trump, PutinTrump.org. Several hours later, WikiLeaks sent a Twitter direct message to Donald Trump Jr. A PAC, quote, a PAC-run anti-Trump site, PutinTrump.org, is about to launch. The PAC is a recycled pro-Iraq war PAC. We have guessed the password. It is Putin Trump. See about for who is behind it. Any comments? Several hours later, Trump Jr. emails a variety of senior campaign staff. Quote, guys, I got a weird Twitter DM from WikiLeaks. See below. I tried the password and it works. And the about section they reference contains the next pick in terms of who is behind it. Not sure if this is anything, but it seems like it's really WikiLeaks asking me as I follow them, and it is a DM. Do you know the people mentioned and what the conspiracy they are looking for could be? These are just screenshots, but it's a fully built out page claiming to be a PAC. Let me know your thoughts and if we want to look into it. End quote. Trump Jr. attached a screenshot of the about page for the unlaunched site PutinTrump.org. The next day, after the website had launched publicly, Trump Jr. sent a direct message to WikiLeaks. Quote, off the record, I don't know who that is, but I'll ask around. Thanks. Close quote. On October 3, 2016, WikiLeaks sent another direct message to Trump Jr. asking, quote, you guys, to help disseminate a link alleging candidate Clinton had advocated using a drone to target Julian Assange. Trump Jr. responded that he already, quote, had done so, and asked, quote, what's behind this Wednesday leak I keep reading about? WikiLeaks did not respond. On October 12, 2016, WikiLeaks wrote again that it was, quote, great to see you and your dad talking about our publications. Strongly suggest your dad tweets this link if he mentions us. WLsearch.tk. Close quote. WikiLeaks wrote that the link would help Trump in digging through, quote, leaked emails and stated, quote, we just released Podesta emails part four, close quote. 2 days later, Trump Jr. publicly tweeted the WLsearch.tk link. Two, other potential campaign interest in Russian hacked materials. Throughout 2016, the Trump campaign expressed interest in Hillary Clinton's private email server and whether approximately 30,000 emails from that server had in fact been permanently destroyed, as reported by the media. Several individuals associated with the campaign were contacted in 2016 about various efforts to obtain the missing Clinton emails and other stolen material in support of the Trump campaign. Some of these contacts were met with skepticism and nothing came of them. Others were pursued to some degree. The investigation did not find evidence that the Trump campaign recovered any such Clinton emails or that these contacts were part of a coordinated effort between Russia and the Trump campaign. A. Henry Okniowski, aka Henry Greenberg. In the spring of 2016, Trump campaign advisor Michael Caputo learned through a Florida-based Russian business partner that another Florida-based Russian, Henry Okniowski, who also went by the name Henry Greenberg, claimed to have information pertaining to Hillary Clinton. Caputo notified Roger Stone and brokered communication between Stone and Okniowski. Okniowski and Stone set up a May 2016 in-person meeting. Okniowski was accompanied to the meeting by Alexei Razin, a Ukrainian associate involved in Florida real estate. At the meeting, Razin offered to sell Stone derogatory information on Clinton that Razin claimed to have obtained while working for Clinton. Razin claimed to possess financial statements demonstrating Clinton's involvement in money laundering with Razin's companies. According to Okniowski, Stone asked if the amounts in question totaled millions of dollars, but was told it was closer to hundreds of thousands. Stone refused the offer, stating that Trump would not pay for opposition research. Okniowski claimed to the office that Razin's motivation was financial. According to Okniowski, Razin had tried unsuccessfully to shop the Clinton information around to other interested parties, and Okniowski would receive a cut if the information was sold. Razin is noted in public source documents as the director and or registered agent for a number of Florida companies, none of which appears to be connected to Clinton. The office found no other evidence that Razin worked for Clinton or any Clinton-related entities. In their statements to investigators, Okniansky and Caputo had contradictory recollections about the meeting. Okniansky claimed that Caputo accompanied Stone to the meeting and provided an introduction, whereas Caputo did not tell us that he had attended and claimed that he was never told what information Okniansky offered. Caputo also stated that he was unaware Okniansky sought to be paid for the information until Stone informed him after the fact. The office did not locate Razin in the United States, although the office confirmed Razin had been issued a Florida driver's license. The office otherwise was unable to determine the content and origin of the information he purportedly offered to Stone. Finally, the investigation did not identify evidence of a connection between the outreach or the meeting and Russian interference efforts. B. Campaign efforts to obtain deleted Clinton emails. After candidate Trump stated on July 27, 2016, that he hoped Russia would, quote, find the 30,000 emails that are missing, close quote, Trump asked individuals affiliated with his campaign to find the deleted Clinton emails. Michael Flynn, who would later serve as National Security Advisor in the Trump administration, recalled that Trump made this request repeatedly, and Flynn subsequently contacted multiple people in an effort to obtain the emails. Barbara Ledeen and Peter Smith were among the people contacted by Flynn. Ledeen, a longtime Senate staffer who had previously sought the Clinton emails, provided updates to Flynn about her efforts throughout the summer of 2016. Smith, an investment advisor who was active in Republican politics, also attempted to locate and obtain the deleted Clinton emails. Ledeen began her efforts to obtain the Clinton emails before Flynn's request as early as December 2015. On December 3, 2015, she emailed Smith a proposal to obtain the emails, stating, quote, here is the proposal I briefly mentioned to you. The person I described to you would be happy to talk with you either in person or over the phone. The person can get the emails, which, one, were classified, and two, were purloined by our enemies. That would demonstrate what needs to be demonstrated. Close quote. Attached to the email was a 25-page proposal stating that the, quote, Clinton email server was in all likelihood breached long ago, close quote, and that the Chinese, Russian, and Iranian intelligence services could, quote, reassemble the server's email content, close quote. The proposal called for a three-phase approach. The first two phases consisted of open source analysis. The third phase consisted of checking with certain intelligence sources, quote, that have access through liaison work with various foreign services, close quote, to determine if any of those services had gotten to the server. The proposal noted, quote, even if a single email was recovered and the providence of that email was a foreign service, it would be catastrophic to the Clinton campaign. Close quote. Smith forwarded the email to two colleagues and wrote, quote, we can discuss to whom it should be referred. Close quote. On December 16, 2015, Smith informed Ledeen that he declined to participate in her, quote, initiative. According to one of Smith's business associates, Smith believed Ledeen's initiative was not viable at that time. Just weeks after Trump's July 2016 request to find the Clinton emails, however, Smith tried to locate and obtain the emails himself. He created a company, raised tens of thousands of dollars, and recruited security experts and business associates. Smith made claims to others involved in the effort, and those from whom he sought funding, that he was in contact with hackers with, quote, ties and affiliations to Russia, who had access to the emails, and that his efforts were coordinated with the Trump campaign. On August 28th, 2016, Smith sent an email from an encrypted account with the subject, quote, Secretary Clinton's unsecured private email server, close quote, to an undisclosed list of recipients, including campaign co-chairman Sam Clovis. The email stated that Smith was, quote, just finishing 2 days of sensitive meetings here in D.C. with involved groups to poke and probe on the above. It is clear that the Clintons' home-based unprotected server was hacked with ease by both state-related players and private mercenaries. Parties with varying interests are circling to release ahead of the election, close quote. On September 2, 2016, Smith directed a business associate to establish KLS Research LLC in furtherance of his search for the deleted Clinton emails. One of the purposes of KLS Research was to manage the funds Smith raised in support of his initiative. KLS Research received over $30,000 during the presidential campaign, although Smith represented that he raised even more money. Smith recruited multiple people for his initiative, including security experts, to search for and authenticate the emails. In early September 2016, as part of his recruitment and fundraising effort, Smith circulated a document stating that his initiative was, quote, in coordination with the Trump campaign, quote, to the extent permitted as an independent expenditure organization, close quote. The document listed multiple individuals affiliated with the Trump campaign, including Flynn, Clovis, Bannon, and Kellyanne Conway. At this point, footnote 280 reads, the same recruitment document listed Jerome Corsi under, quote, independent groups, organizations, individuals, and described him as, quote, established author and writer from the right on President Obama and Secretary Clinton, close quote, end footnote. The investigation established that Smith communicated with at least Flynn and Clovis about his search for the deleted Clinton emails, but the office did not identify evidence that any of the listed individuals initiated or directed Smith's efforts. In September 2016, Smith and Ledeen got back in touch with each other about their respective efforts. Ledeen wrote to Smith, quote, wondering if you had some more detailed reports or memos or other data that you could share, because we have come a long way in our efforts since we last visited. We would need as much technical discussion as possible so we could marry it against the new data we have found and then could share it back to, quote, your eyes only, close quote. Ledeen claimed to have obtained a trove of emails from what she described as the, quote, dark web, that purported to be the deleted Clinton emails. Ledeen wanted to authenticate the emails and solicited contributions to fund that effort. Eric Prince provided funding to hire a tech advisor to ascertain the authenticity of the emails. According to Prince, the tech advisor determined that the emails were not authentic. A backup of Smith's computer contained two files that had been downloaded from WikiLeaks and that were originally attached to emails received by John Podesta. The files on Smith's computer had creation dates of October 2, 2016, which was prior to the date of their release by WikiLeaks. Forensic examination, however, established that the creation date did not reflect when the files were downloaded to Smith's computer. It appears the creation date was when WikiLeaks staged the document for release, as discussed in Volume 1, Section 3C, Supra. At this point, footnote 284 reads, the forensic analysis of Smith's computer devices found that Smith used an older Apple operating system that would have preserved that October 2, 2016 creation date when it was downloaded, no matter what day it was in fact downloaded by Smith. See Volume 1, Section 3B, 3C, Supra. The office tested this theory in March 2019 by downloading the two files found on Smith's computer from WikiLeaks site using the same Apple operating system on Smith's computer. Both files were successfully downloaded and retained the October 2, 2016 creation date. CSM 228-494-1 serial 62, end footnote. The investigation did not otherwise identify evidence that Smith obtained the files before their release by WikiLeaks. Smith continued to send emails to an undisclosed recipient list about Clinton's deleted emails until shortly before the election. For example, on October 28, 2016, Smith wrote that there was a, quote, tug of war going on within WikiLeaks over its planned releases in the next few days, close quote, and that WikiLeaks, quote, has maintained that it will save its best revelations for last under the theory that this allows little time for response prior to the U.S. election November 8, close quote. An attachment to the email claimed that WikiLeaks would release, quote, all 33K deleted emails by, quote, November 1st. No emails obtained from Clinton's server were subsequently released. Smith drafted multiple emails stating or intimating that he was in contact with Russian hackers. For example, in one such email, Smith claimed that in August 2016, KLS Research had organized meetings with parties who had access to the deleted Clinton emails, including parties with, quote, ties and affiliations to Russia, close quote. The investigation did not identify evidence that any such meetings occurred. Associates and security experts who worked with Smith on the initiative did not believe that Smith was in contact with Russian hackers and were aware of no such connection. The investigation did not establish that Smith was in contact with Russian hackers or that Smith, Ledeen, or other individuals in touch with the Trump campaign ultimately obtained the deleted Clinton emails. In sum, the investigation established that the GRU hacked into email accounts of persons affiliated with the Clinton campaign, as well as the computers of the DNC and DCCC. The GRU then exfiltrated data related to the 2016 election from these accounts and computers and disseminated that data through fictitious online personas, DC Leaks and Guccifer 2.0, and later through WikiLeaks. The investigation also established that the Trump campaign displayed interest in the WikiLeaks releases and that, at this point, two lines have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. As explained in Volume 1, Section 5B, Infra, the evidence was sufficient to support computer intrusion and other charges against GRU officers for their role in election-related hacking. The last two lines have been redacted, harm to ongoing matter. That concludes Section 3, Russian Hacking and Dumping Operations. Thank you, Special Counsel Mueller, for leaving us on a little bit of a cliffhanger, the last two lines being redacted for harm to ongoing matter. But since it's ongoing, I suspect we'll learn about it in due course. In the meantime, I'll be right back after this break. So this concludes part two of episode 5, section 3, Russian hacking and dumping operations. I don't know about you, but hearing about the election interference efforts and successes of a hostile power on our presidential election is off-putting, to say the least. But these are the facts, painstakingly gathered by Special Counsel Mueller and his investigative team. And reading the firsthand report lends a sense of gravitas that hearing secondhand news reports just doesn't offer. While this section revealed no formal criminal conspiracy between Russia and the Trump campaign, the ease and the casual attitude with which those in and or working with the campaign approached collaboration with Russia and its agents is disturbing. It doesn't matter whether their efforts were successful or not. But more on those contexts and details are forthcoming. The next episode will also be a multi-part episode in order to manage the largest and final section of Volume 1. That would be Section 4, Russian Government Links to and Contacts with the Trump Campaign. Remember, if you would like to read over any of this report, you can always download a copy of it on the podcast website, which is www.papertrailmedia.co/podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, reviews on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you listen are always welcome. Thanks for joining me today, and stay tuned for the next installment of the Mueller Report, a reading. I'm Milena Balbo.